I love a beautiful lawn. You love a beautiful lawn. Everybody loves a beautiful lawn, but they don't love how long it takes and how difficult it can be. And that is where True Green comes into play because it's the easiest and most affordable way to get that beautiful lawn. Let's be real. You've got plenty of other things to do in your free time than focus on your lawn care. So let True Green take care of all of that hard work while you get to do everything else that you want to do, like go play golf. Here's what you need to do. Visit truegreen.com, okay? It allows you to do you. Let them do the lawn care. And if you visit truegreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people, that is all guaranteed. You can trust True Green to give you the best lawn because they are the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They offer a satisfaction guarantee and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. It's truegreen.com. Get started now. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. And that's because the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe has some great features like the available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, and much, much more. So think about those places that you want to go, the things that you'd like to do this weekend, and where the Santa Fe can take you. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Freaking first cut. Golly!
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, joined today first by Patrick McDonald. Patrick, good to see you.
What's going on, fellas? Big week in sports, you know, MLB playoffs, NHL tonight, and the Zozo.
And the Zozo. That's it as well. Also, Scottie Scheffler played pickleball earlier today. So things are just heating up in the sports world. Kyle Porter is here. KP, have you pickled recently?
So, true story, I'd never played before. And this, my friend who works at Dude Perfect invited the kids to come out, see their offices and everything last week, which is, you know, like Disney World for them. And they have a pickleball court there. And he was like, hey, grab a paddle, let's play. And I barely even knew what it was. And after like 3 minutes, I was hooked. It's amazing.
I would like to cash in my Dude Perfect friend of a friend card when they open up the new headquarters, and I want to throw something down, you know, 330 feet to the ground. That I'm getting ready for that.
I think we could get you in on that. The thing about, well, we could talk Dude Perfect for an hour, but the experience was awesome. Like those guys are super kind to the kids, and you know, it was an experience that my kids enjoyed, but don't appreciate probably as much as they will when they're like 25 and they realize that these adults were taking time out of their day to like hang out with them. And it was really cool. But the pickleball thing, I mean, listen, like I love playing tennis, but I'm not good enough to where like it's almost a, it doesn't make sense for me to play. All I'm doing is running around and I'll hit one good shot every 30 minutes. But with pickleball, it's like an in-between of ping pong and tennis, right? Where you can hit some good shots. You still get a workout. You feel like you're actually accomplishing something. Unlike with tennis, where I feel like I'm just flailing into the ether half the time.
Tennis is a young person's game. A lot of running around, a lot of agility required, Patrick. Pickleball is kind of close to golf, where at various levels of competition, you can play it for your whole life.
Honestly, I thought you guys were talking about pickling some onions.
Is that a hobby of yours?
I mean, it could be, potentially. I haven't gotten into it extensively, but I've pickled before, both on the court and in the kitchen.
Wow.
And I mean, yeah, I mean, pickled onions go anything, put them on anything.
Do you cook, Patrick?
Oh, yeah. Do you?
What's
No. I mean, like, I made a smoothie for lunch. I don't think that counts.
Okay. Oh, don't sell yourself short. I mean, that's big time. But I wouldn't say cook. I mean, I'm in my mid-20s, so I'm not like Bobby Flay in the joint. But, you know, I'm not just like chicken and rice every night like most people my age, I feel like.
Patrick would still play tennis, Rick.
Patrick's in his prime. To be Patrick's age again, I would do anything.
You're like 28, aren't you?
I'm 34.
Oh, okay.
Now I'm 28. Now I can only play golf and pickleball for the rest of my life. That's where I'm at.
That's fine though. Like that's a great outcome.
It is. You know what else is a great outcome? Getting some First Cut merch. That's right. 20% off for the rest of the year. If you're watching on YouTube, producer Troy has dropped a promo code, FirstCut20 at checkout, alongside a QR code. You can scan that on your cellular device. It'll take you directly to the store, and you can get all your First Cut hats and t-shirts and sweatshirts and glassware. A water bottle, potentially, whatever you want. First Cut 20 gets you 20% off for the rest of the year. There's also a link in the description of both the audio and video versions of this podcast. Zozo.
Real quick.
Yeah.
Are you guys into the Major League Baseball playoffs?
Yeah.
I just picked my team today. I'm a Phillies fan starting now.
Welcome.
There you go, Rick.
The bandwagon is open. We are accepting applications. Baseball playoffs, Kyle, are, we were just saying, the games take way too long, but the drama is fairly elite in the playoffs.
Yeah, it is. It's almost tantamount. This is a weird comparison because the sports are so different, but it's almost tantamount to hockey playoffs where it's so intense and it just is. It's so different than the regular season. What you do, roll me through there's eight teams left, right? Favorites to who's favored to win?
Boy, Patrick, you probably know this more than I do, but I imagine the Astros and the Braves are probably pretty heavily favored.
Probably Dodgers.
Dodgers won like 115 games or something like that.
I know the Phillies, since they're in the play-in, they were, I think, like 35-1 to win it all at the start of it, but
much shorter now.
Yeah.
Okay. So it goes considerably. I looked this up on Caesars, our
friends'
sportsbook of choice. Dodgers plus 260, Astros 4-1, Yankees 5-1, Braves plus 750, Phillies 8, Mariners 8,
wow,
Padres 11, and the Guardians check in at 18. I think I'm going to be into the playoffs. I watched the Judge stuff, but yeah, I'm going to write normal sport and watch the Major League Baseball playoffs.
The format changed this year, right? That was a this year thing when they changed that format where the wild card, instead of the one and done, was a three games, a best of three, but the home team never changed, right? That's new this year. Patrick's giving me a head nod. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That was cool. And now they're going to best of five and then they go to best of seven after this.
I like that. I think that's a good way to, because you wear these pitchers, you wear the staff out for the teams that make the wild card going into the division series.
Yeah. And if you have to, and if you are the better seed in the wild card, you get all three games at home, or up to three games at home.
Yeah, it's great. That's good.
How am I going to transition this? That is a change to a playoff system. In another sport, we've been potentially calling for changes to a playoff system. Golf is happening this week. And where it is happening for the PGA Tour is the Far East. That is in Tokyo. They're going to Japan, the Zozo Championship. This is a fairly new event on the calendar here, Patrick. It's only been three editions of this. Two of them were in Japan. The other one after they came back from COVID was at Sherwood. So we've got a little bit of course history. We've got a fairly top heavy field. We've got some stars here, and they're going to be playing basically overnight for the vast majority of us.
Yeah, this one's always kind of tough to gauge because you don't really watch too much of it live, at least. I know I loved what they did on the broadcast last year where they had players come into the booth and kind of announce with them. I think Ricky Fowler did it. Charlie Hoffman did it. That's something I wish they kind of did more. to kind of see how, you know, they're reacting to what's going on in the course and whatnot. But yeah, I mean, Tiger Woods' 82nd win came here in 2019 over Hideki. Gary Woodland was in the mix as well. I think he made bogey on his first three holes that week. Following year, I think like a monsoon typhoon came through and some of the holes were completely underwater. And then COVID, obviously. And last year, Hideki had one of his patented three woods into 18 to win by five or six, whatever it was. So it's a cool looking course. I think all courses in Japan are they just look extremely clean. Like nothing is out of place ever. I swear they have people hiding behind trees, just picking up everything that falls out of place. So I'll stay up for it for a little bit, I guess. But I mean, I'll be asleep for most of it.
There is a pride in the greenskeepers over there about every blade being in proper position. Kyle, if you're racking your brain, you're like, last year, what, Hideki won? What you probably most remember is Cameron Tringale waving to the crowd every few minutes and almost stealing this thing away before Hideki came and saved everybody.
Yeah, it was. I thought it capped. I don't remember that actually, but I thought it capped. Tringale does some weird stuff when he's in contention. Remember the year at the Texas Open when he started going after every cut?
He's crazy. Yeah,
that was just so weird. Man,
the one that he got might, away.
He might belong at LIV, but Hideki Lash. I thought his. It got a little bit overlooked, but his year last year to go Masters and Zozo in Japan in the same year is a pretty crazy year. And I think, you know, I was actually just finishing up some stuff about him for the book this year, for the Sony, when he won the Sony over Russell Henley. And he has had, not to make this just a Hideki centric thing, but like he's at the center of this event, right? Whether he wins or not. And especially when he wins, his 10 years in his 20s, from 20 to 30, basically turned 30 in February of this year, were pretty crazy, like really, really, really good. And I thought that this was part of that. And yeah, you can say, okay, it's just the Zozo, it's in the fall. But for him, that was like, it wasn't like a major, but it was kind of something close to that last year. So I thought that was one of the cooler things that we got to experience and watch in 2021.
Yeah, it was awesome. And yeah, you're right. I mean, when he gets into Japan, he's a rock star everywhere he goes in the world, but playing golf in Japan is on another level. We saw it at the Olympics as well. I think he was in that, it was like a 7-way playoff for the bronze medal, right?
And
he's
sweet.
Yeah, he did not. CT Pan, right, steals it from everybody, but Hideki was in that playoff. You know who's the hottest player in the world? And maybe we could actually probably debate this because Xander Schauffele is in this field. Also, Tom Kim is in this field. And Patrick, I don't want to foreshadow too far down into the show here, but you did not have a great time fading Tom Kim last week. Spoiler alert, he won. Has your opinion on him changed after seeing what you saw in Las Vegas?
I think there needs to be an asterisk next to that victory just because Davis Riley withdrew. So we don't know exactly what was going to happen if Davis Riley decided to play or not. Has my opinion changed on Tom Kim? Look, I think the world of Tom Kim, obviously, like two wins by 20. Obviously, there's some Tiger comparisons out there, which are completely warranted. He'll probably get to 83 in the next couple years here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I still don't think he should be up this high on the odds board next to Hideki and Sungjae and whatnot. But two wins in your last four starts is super impressive. But we've seen runs like this before. And Cantlay obviously had that dud on the 72nd hole, which probably won't happen again in his lifetime, you would think. But
yeah,
no, you got it. You got it.
Can we talk about that? Because we kind of brushed over it on Sunday night. There was a lot of stuff going on. Patrick Cantlay, just to be clear, on the 72nd hole last week, yanks it into the desert, tries to hit it through a bush. It does not come out. He then takes relief and then has a conversation, Kyle, that we don't often hear, which is him and his caddy talking about
whether second matters, if he's still far enough ahead, how much risk should I take on? They were basically like, yeah, I can still finish second, or I don't care about finishing second. I'm just going to try to hit this over the entirety of the water. He would drop it in the drink and make a triple. But that is not usually a conversation that we are privy to, a golfer discussing like that, how, where they are on the leaderboard.
Yeah, which is, and I think that was like their original conversation was that he had to try to hit it because he was so far ahead of second. He had to try to hit it out of the brush because he was so far ahead of second. And the only way to make a four there is to just hit a miracle shot and get up and down from like 170 yards, right?
I think so, right.
But then it became like, then he was just trying to hang on to second, and hell of a 10 or hell of a seven that he made. I mean, one of the great sevens of our time.
Like a 40-foot putt. It's the
longest putt he made all week. And this is a guy who shot a 60 at one point.
Yeah. So that was interesting. I think that somebody of Cantley's stature is, you know, he doesn't really care about, I mean, he doesn't not care because he was talking, like you said, about, you know, where is second, basically, but he doesn't, he's willing to take on the risk of finishing third or whatever to win a golf tournament. And I think that's not true of everybody out there. Certainly not true of everybody out there, but it is true of some of the top guys. Real quick, Ricky, I thought you asked an interesting question. We kind of moved past it. Who's the hottest player in the world? Because
I've got three options.
Well, I'm looking at the Data Golf trending table, and so this is like basically how your strokes gain number is trending, essentially. And you want me to read like the top five?
Can we guess them?
Yeah, can we guess?
Yeah.
All right. Sungjae's got to be in there.
Number two.
Xander.
He's like eight.
Tom Kim.
Tom Kim is fifth.
Rory's got to be up there.
Rory's one.
Oh, sorry. I was just thinking about this field.
Sorry. No, everybody.
Then Cantlay has to be in there.
He is sixth.
DJ.
DJ is three. So you're missing number four.
Xander?
And I'm assuming he's not playing this week.
No, Xander's nine. He is not playing this week. He did play last week. He played well last week.
John Rahm.
Oh.
So Rory, Sungjae is, I mean, his numbers, he's playing some unbelievable golf. DJ, Rahm, and Tom Kim, number five, fifth hottest player in the world, according to Data Golf.
Yeah, I mean, that's what a couple of wins and a handful of starts. Sungjae just doesn't have the wins. Sungjae's been phenomenal. The advanced metrics are there. He's constantly in contention. I think he's got two runner-up finishes in his last, I don't know, five or six starts. Like that what he's missing is just the victory.
You know who's up there that I tried to get into my bets this week, but he's not playing?
Who?
Taylor Montgomery. So you go down the list. It's Cantlay, Cam Young, Joaquin, Xander, Homa, Cam Smith, and Taylor Montgomery. Like he's playing really, really good golf, and nobody even knows who he is.
He's been splendid. This goes back to Korn Ferry last year. He's been awesome.
Yeah, he's been really good.
A name that was not in there, Patrick, is Colin Morikawa, who I don't know. I like what is the state of Colin at the moment? Because we've got the ball striking that's always phenomenal. We've got the putter that let him down last time. Like what are we expecting from him? He's coming off a season in which he didn't win on the PGA Tour and also then was great at the President's Cup.
Many people are saying the Hero World Challenge might have broken him. You know, that he could have become world number one with a victory there. A lot of people forget that last winter, 54 hole, he was winning by five.
Oh, that's right. It was supposed to be a victory lap to number one.
Exactly. Yeah. And then he battled COVID a little bit in the new year. He won the DP World Tour shindig, but he had COVID in the new year, lost his swing, lost the fade, and then kind of late last summer started to come back around. Pretty impressive. He came, what, in fifth at the U.S. Open, hitting a draw, and he was leading at the halfway point there, just a bad Saturday. But, yeah, I mean, I thought he was great at the President's Cup. His irons looked sharp, and if you're a Colin Morikawa fan, I think this is a really great course for him, where iron players like Tiger Woods and Hideki Matsuyama have fared well. So he should be in store for, I mean, compared to last year, I think just winning once will be a good year for him. But multiple victories, given the way he hits his approach shots, should be in the cards this season.
Yeah. Can he possibly rebound after zero wins in one full season, Kyle?
Hey, real quick. I got somebody here who wants to make a pick for this week. This is my daughter, Hannah. Who are you picking for this week?
I don't know.
Well, who'd you just say?
What's his name?
Well, say it into the microphone.
Sander. Yes, Sander. Wow. Shoffley for Hannah. Great pick. Hat tip for Sander.
Okay, I'll be in later.
For the record, Hannah probably smokes you guys every major in the family pool.
For sure. If people had insight into that, they wouldn't trust anything I said. Maybe they don't. The Morikawa thing, I remember I picked him in our one and done for this event last year, and I don't really know what to do with him. You know, is it a situation where you remember when Spieth won everything like in the first 3 years of his career and you're like, oh, this guy's gonna win? I think I said I predicted he would win 40 times over the course of his career, and I didn't say a major number, but 40 PGA Tour wins, which is absurd. And I do wonder if we're gonna look back on Morikawa's career and say, listen, he's a good player, he had a good career, but the his winning was heavily weighted toward those first 2 years, and that skewed what our perception of him was going forward. Now, the counter to that is he's the best iron player in the world, and iron play, as you guys know, is the most important relevant statistic to winning big time golf tournaments, you know. So I don't, he's become a little bit mysterious for me in terms of what to expect from him at individual tournaments like this, and overall as I just try to kind of figure out his career.
Mysterious Morikawa playing this week, making his first start since the President's Cup. Gents, let's get into our picks for the week. That's where we go through, and we've got matchups and finishing positions and outrights. Then, of course, we're going to give our best bet for the week. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today. Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And we're back. The Moneymaker Challenge. For those who are uninitiated, $50 on a matchup, $30 on any finishing position that we want, $10 on one outright, $10 on another. Kyle, you are the least experienced in this. I believe we've only gotten like one pick from you this season. You're going to get a full slate coming up right here.
I am. So, excuse me, if I understand this correctly, we're making these four picks, but then the only one that counts toward toward the money is the money ball, right?
That is incorrect. We actually keep track of both. So this, what you're seeing right now,
okay.
What you're
okay,
seeing gotcha. Right now is, if you're watching on YouTube, producer Troy has dropped the season standings. Now we also have a graphic, you don't have to show it yet, for the just the money ball. So we are keeping track of them together and separately.
The only one I saw in the the preview was the money ball one. So I'm with you now. I'm on the same page. You want me to start with my picks?
Yeah, let's start with your matchup, which is 50 of your first 100 units.
You're carrying us here, by the way. You're like Patrick Reed at the 2014 Ryder Cup. Just throw everybody on Rick's back and
the real Captain America.
We'll make an 11. I'm not doing anything here. My matchup pick is Tom Hoagie plus 110 over Martin Laird and Cam Champ. And I think that Tom Hoagie, he's not a big name. And I like that for stuff like this. He's been hitting the ball really, really well. If you look at the last, 20 rounds of play of guys in this field, ball striking, it goes Tom Kim, Cam Young, Corey Connors, Sung Jae, Xander, Morikawa, and Tom Hoagie. That's, you know, he's hitting it like a top flight guy. And I love him over what it's not a great number plus 110, but I love him over Laird and Cam Champ here.
Yeah, played well again last week, finished fourth. Was it solo fourth by himself there?
I think he went 12th fourth at Sanderson and in last week.
Yeah, he had a chance there, missed a few putts.
Yeah, he missed a short one, and then I think I saw him twice three putt 15 after he drove the green and three putts him for par, and I'm like, this can't make those out there. Patrick, you're going back to the well. You had such a good time fading Tom Kim last week that you have opted to do the same this week.
I'm going to die on this hill. Absolutely.
Yeah, you might, for sure. Like,
we joked last week that I might not be back on this show the following week, and this might actually be legitimate now. But yeah, Hideki's playing well enough. He had a so-so President's Cup, hit the ball well at Fortinet. And on this golf course, only one person has beaten him, and his name's Tiger Woods. So I know the comparisons are there for Tom Kim, but at a, you know, toss-up, essentially, he's rested. Tom Kim's coming off kind of a stressful Sunday there at the Shriners, traveling. Hideki's been there. So I'm going to go Hideki in front of the home crowd at minus 110 over Tom Kim.
All right. I'll round it out with Terrell Hatton getting plus money, plus 115 over Cam Young. I'm a little bit worried about this, but Hatton's been playing much better than people realize. He's got back-to-back eighth place finishes. There's five par threes on this golf course. Hatton is one of the biggest gainers on par threes that we have out there. I think it's a good spot to pick him off at plus 115. So that's Hatton over Cam Young. It's Hideki over Tom Kim and Tom Hoagie over Martin Laird and Cam Champ rounding out our $50 matchup options. Finishing position. And KP, we'll go back to you here. This is any golfer, any finishing position that you want. What have you opted for?
Yeah, I got KH Lee here in the top, 20. He's been playing good golf, and I feel like he's gone a little bit overlooked amongst the kind of Korean contingent, with Sungjae playing so well. Tom Kim, international superstar, obviously, but I really like... I like a couple of things. I like the way he's hitting it, but I also like that his game has been super well. I mean, he's not just doing it in a single category. So he's been really well rounded, and I like him to finish in the top 20 this week.
Another top 20 coming up next, Patrick. That's what you've chosen. Who's the golfer, please?
Luke List, plus 275. If you like really good putting and bad ball striking, he is not your golfer. The putting has been just like miserable. It's as if I was out there putting myself. So ball striking, typical Luke List. It's been all right. Pretty good. Seventh here last year. It's tough. We don't have all the stats from this golf course, but pray to God he likes these greens somewhat. And if he's able to be neutral, that's a massive win if you're a Luke List fan. So plus 275 for a top 20, just given how good he is in the ball striking department. I like a lot.
probably worth noting, this is a 78 player field. So finishing inside the top 20 is basically finishing inside the top 25%. Kyle, there are two greens on every single one of these holes. You get a free drop if you hit it on the wrong one. I actually think they should have two holes, one on each green, and you just choose which one you go for.
Wait, say that again. You get a free drop if you hit the wrong green?
Yeah. So if the pin is on green A and your ball lands on green B, you get relief from that. That you do not hit it off that green.
Are they using the other greens like coming the other way?
No, but I think from day to day they can choose what green to use. It's not in and out situation. It's just two greens.
I think
I thought it was by season. By season they change them. Maybe I'm wrong.
I was under the impression.
I think I'd make them play it, right? Like that'd be sick.
I would just cut a hole in both and say, okay, well, I was going for that one, and then putt out on that one.
That would be you would shot link would be smoking if that happened. Like it would be corrupted. I mean, it would just be a nightmare.
It would be 300 yards shot one, 300 yards, either 179 left to pin or 184 left to pin.
I'm sorry, I can't do relief from a green. Like I don't care if like you got to figure it out if you're a professional golfer.
They don't want
just figure
not,
it out.
It's not the golfers
figure
begging,
it out.
It's not the golfers asking for free relief. It is the groundskeeper saying we don't want you pitching off of it.
It's not like a St. Andrews deal where it's a massive green. You know, there might be water in the middle between them.
Well, don't hit it over there. I'm out. That's like a cousin to preferred lies. No free drops from greens.
Cousin, yeah, the cousin you don't want to see at Thanksgiving.
That's not okay. If I hit a very bad drive on any golf course on the PGA Tour, and it ends up on the wrong green, like maybe it's by a tee box or something, aren't I getting free relief from that green as well?
If you say that again, if you do,
all right. Let's say we've got a really claustrophobic golf course and I spray a drive that goes, you know, adjacent 50 yards right and it lands on another hole's green. I'm not going to hit my approach off of that green, right? I have to take free relief.
Is that true? I don't know that I've seen that happen. That would be a very normal sport thing to happen.
I mean, honestly, on the PGA Tour, you pretty much get a drop anywhere you want these days.
That's true. That's a good point. Like that is part of the problem here. Did you see when Mackenzie Hughes almost got, or maybe did get relief on the 72nd hole at the Sanderson?
I think he did.
He did get relief.
But it was like, what are we doing? Like he had a bad drive. Like I have to play that.
There needs to be a tournament where no drop, no TIO, any of that.
So you guys weren't here for yesterday's show. So for those listening, sorry, you're gonna hear it again. I denied Lucas Herbert free relief on Thursday at TPC Summerlin. Personally, I personally did.
Our hero.
Like it hit you? Like the ball hit you?
So what happened is I was walking down the first fairway and nine runs adjacent to it. He sprayed it into the right rough on nine, which is a par five. I was the only one who saw it bounce and saw it land. The marshal missed it, all that stuff. So I had to point it out to Lucas Herbert where it was. And Kyle, he asked, did it bounce? Which you know means it was a horrible lie. He was looking for that
embedded. Free,
he was looking for that. What did this ball plug? And in that moment, I could have said, "No, Lucas, it didn't bounce. take that relief, buddy boy." But I said, "Oh, it did. Suck it up."
Was it? I'm proud of you for upholding the integrity of the game there, Rick. But
Rory McIlroy did the same thing on 18 today.
Yeah, exactly. Was it super wet?
It wasn't wet, but that is an area that that's the thickest rough on the golf course, and it's kind of underneath some trees, so it's definitely like shadier and a little. I don't even call it soggy, but like it's definitely the wettest spot on the course, but probably not wet.
I think that story just goes to show like how What if you weren't there? What if you stayed home and you were doing this?
It's exactly what I said. I said, you know, Kyle and I talk about this all the time. My buddy that I was with, I was like, we talk about this all the time. That like, how can I be the one yielding this power?
And this was the Hovland thing at the Players Championship last year.
Yeah.
When he hits it over the water on 11 in his first round, and he was like, okay, nobody really saw this. I'm just going to play it safe and go back to like across the water, essentially, even though the cameras did show that it bounced on the green side of the water, and he could have dropped over there. And eventually they got it sorted out. But there's so many micro moments like that, that it's almost like the tour is a weird in-between space where it's like you need an amateur event where there's nobody there and nobody sees anything, or you need like every shot accounted for either by people or cameras or whatever. And so you've got this weird in-between of Shriners where it's like, oh, well, Rick's on that hole, so Lucas Herbert can get relief. Like that is such a weird thing. And I don't know if you can do anything about it, but it's one of the kind of quirky things about professional golf, I guess.
Yeah, it's insane. And there's a gift and a curse of being on TV or not being on TV. It's just an imbalance.
Totally.
It's just an imbalance is what it is.
Yeah.
Okay. KH Lee, top 20. Luke List, top 20. I'm going deep down the board. Kazuki Higa, top 40, plus 120. He's got to beat half the field. He won the Asian Tour event a couple of weeks ago, the Shinhai Donghai Open. Siwoo Kim played that event, could not beat Kazuki Higa. Also has a couple of decent finishes earlier this year on the European Tour. I think he goes out, beats half the field, finishes plus 120. That's a deep cut for you.
I believe you.
Outright. Patrick.
How much do you know about Kazuki Higa?
About 7 starts worth.
Okay.
Exactly what he just
how
said.
How much do you know about? Yeah, I've emptied the chamber on my Kazuki Higa knowledge.
Yeah, I got nothing.
Oh, man.
Where are you headed with your two outrights, Patrick?
You already mentioned him. House Tyrell. I like a lot this week. A couple top 10s in a row, like you said. He was good to end the PGA Tour season last year. I think he had 4 top 25 finishes in his last 5 starts there. So irons haven't had kind of that really impressive week yet, but the rest of the game looks steady. So I like him at 22-1. And then Mr. Tommy Fleetwood. I've been praying to God about Luke List putting, and hopefully, you know, Tommy Fleetwood will answer those prayers. He was really good before he had to take some time away to attend to some family matters. Top 5 finishes at both those Scotland events to end last year, and then was first round leader at the BMW PGA Championship. That event was a bit quirky, 54 holes, eventually fell off the pace, but T22 at the Alfred Dunhill, T40 in Spain. His irons weren't great last week, but hopefully they bounce back this week, and at 35-1, I like it.
Tommy Ladd, 35-1. Terrell Hatton, 22-1. Those are the two outrights for Patrick per our rules and regulations. He puts $10 on each one of those. I'll go quickly. I think if you just bet Colin Morikawa every single event, you're probably going to find yourself in a pretty good position. I'm going to start some of that right now, 14-1 for Colin. And then I'm surprised this guy didn't show up on your hottest golfers on the planet list. Kyle Sepstraka, runner-up. Yeah. 7th place finish and a playoff loss in his last 3. He's figured something out. The game has completely turned around. The one thing I actually, you know, all joking aside, I like about Sepstraka is that when he hits his ceiling, he can actually win. We saw it at Honda. He was in a playoff the last time he played. He nearly won a playoff event. Like, there are some guys that when they hit their ceiling, they still don't have a chance. I don't necessarily feel that way about Sepstraka at 51.
Do you like that Morikawa hasn't won in a while?
He
hasn't won in a year, basically.
Yeah, I don't think that matters as much, right? It's not like roulette where, you know, blacks hit 5 times in a row or something like that. But I just his stat profile, Kyle, is exactly what it always is. Great approach play. He might lose 4 strokes putting, and he might gain 4 strokes putting. And if he gains 4, he runs away with it. It's a very on brand profile as of right now.
I will say his putting for I'm looking at the wrong thing. Yeah, man. Like his numbers for 2022 and 2021 were very, very, very similar overall. He wasn't as good around the greens. He lost a little bit there last season, but everything else was just like, you know, the typical Colin Morikawa numbers. So I think that, I don't know. I don't know if that means anything. A lot of it was front loaded where he had a really good start of the year. And then he was kind of not a factor in the summer and late summer. You know, he had that T5 at the US Open, fifth of the Masters. That was kind of it. I don't know. How do you feel about Morikawa, Patrick?
I think he's in for like a 3-win season.
Really?
Yeah. I think he's got a big one in front of him, but I also said Cantlay's in for 5. So that's eight tournaments.
You've already got eight bookmarks for guys. Yeah.
And I'm already 4 in.
I think I told Rick that, Rahm would win 5 in 2022. So I guess technically he still could. I don't know how many more he's playing, but
that's 13.
Well, the Rahm thing ends this year. So yeah,
he's running out.
He's at 2 right now. So yeah, I've got, so my outrights, I've got Sungjae at 12-1. I said this earlier. I mean, his level of play right now is just off the charts. It's so good. I don't know if people are, I mean, clearly this number kind of shows that people that at least, you know, books are recognizing how good he's playing. And then I've got Tom Hoagie again at 40-1. That number just was too good for me to pass up. I don't know that Tom Hoagie's going to win the Zozo, but that's a pretty good number for somebody who's playing at the clip that he's playing at right now.
Hoagie 40, Sungjae 12, Hatton at 22, Tommy Fleetwood at 35, Sepp Straka 50, Colin Morikawa 14-1. The 6 combined outrights on the board for the Zozo Championship, which, gentlemen, leaves us with one final thing to do. It's our money ball, our best bet for the week, our $50 to put on literally anything that we want. We'll reveal those, but first we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And we're back. Moneyball time. 50 smackers in any direction. Patrick, please reveal your smackers first.
The parlay is over. I'm done with them.
Yeah,
I'm just gonna get that out of the way.
That's probably good.
I want to jump on that. I wanted to start doing parlays.
Oh man, it's a money pit, KP. Let me tell you. I know Mark Immelman was interested in them as well.
Mark needs to be doing.
Mark learned what a parlay was via Patrick, and then was like, "I need to check that out." And I was like, yeah. "Oh boy, this rat
no, hole. you don't, Mark."
Yeah, he's creating all the single game parlays for Caesar Sportsbook now. But I got Hideki top Japanese for +140. I think there's like 12 players in this market, but literally and quite figuratively, Hideki's in a different league than all these guys. They're all Japan Golf Tour organization players.
That's pretty good.
And Kodaira's in there, so don't want to disrespect him, but plus 140. Like I said, he's only been beaten by one guy on this golf course. He's playing well enough. I felt it was still a little bit long just given who he is. So that's my money ball.
Well, he's been beaten by one guy at two events at this golf course. So you should, and it was it Tiger? I think it was. No, it wasn't Tiger. Who won it in?
It was Tiger.
Was it Tiger? Yeah. So you should feel, you should probably feel pretty good about that.
He's been beaten by four guys in total in his last like three trips to Japan in Japanese events. So
yeah,
there we go.
Sounds like you guys are going to be betting this after, after we get off.
I know I should have thrown that into mine.
Okay, KP. Now, I don't know if you are aware that you've done this. This is well within the rights of the game, but what you have essentially done is you have doubled down on your matchup. So you are now going to have double the dollars on Tom Hoagie over Martin Laird and Cam Champ.
Yeah, I did. I did realize that's what I had done. It's reasonable for you to assume otherwise, but I did realize this was what I was doing. And Laird's playing okay. Champ is weird in that he could go out and win this tournament or miss the cut by six, and you wouldn't really be surprised either way. So I like this matchup a lot. I loved Hoagie this week, and I wanted to figure out how to get him into as many bets as possible.
I would be surprised if Cam Champ missed the cut by six shots in a no-cut event, but that's just me. That's just me.
There you go. I forgot it was no-cut. Thank you.
Let's go. All right. I went with Siwoo Kim. Siwoo Kim is apparently the broomstick master because now he's putting well again. He gained strokes with the flat stick last week, played well at the Asian Tour event with the broomstick, played well at the President's Cup with the broomstick. I'm taking Siwoo, top 20, plus 130, and we will be shaking that ass all night long if he does.
I will not be shaking any ass. Are you concerned, Rick, that he's lost strokes putting in three of his last four events?
No. He lost 21 strokes in his last three events of last year. It was horrible. Then he changed putters. Now he's, for at least the moment.
Did he change at the President's Cup?
No, he changed at the Asian Tour event to start before.
The 38th Shinhan Donghae Open.
That's the one. He finished
He finished T5, and we don't have numbers on his putting there. I like that.
I've just convinced myself that he putted great that week.
I think that's right. Siwoo is man, he's a ride. He's a roller coaster, right? Like you don't know what, but the talent is just, it's immense. I mean, I don't know. I'd be curious if we asked Trevor Immelman, like, whose ceiling is higher between him and Sungjae, because Sungjae obviously is more consistent, but Siwoo's ceiling is really high, like really, really high. So I like that. I'm in on that this week.
He is an absolute trip. I love that guy. So just to recap, Siwoo Kim, top 20, plus 130. Patrick has opted for the top Japanese market. That's Hideki Matsuyama, plus 140. Kyle has doubled down Tom Hoagie, plus 110 over Martin Laird and Cam Champ. Those are the money balls. Those are the best bets of the week. Gentlemen, any final thoughts before we get out of here on the Zozo Championship?
I got one just because we talked about Morikawa a bit. If you had to pick between him, Cameron Young, Victor Hovland for this season, who gets the most wins?
Most worldwide or PGA Tour wins?
PGA Tour.
PGA Tour. So I would probably go Hovland if it was worldwide because he's going to maybe, well, I mean, he won a Euro event earlier this year. Although I guess Morikawa did too. Most PGA Tour wins 2023 between those three. That's tough. I think I'll go Hovland.
That would be cool.
Yeah. I think I'm in on Hovland. I mean, the problem is like Cam Young could go full Scottie Scheffler this year, right? Like he's sort of in that position that Scheffler was in last year, where he's like the 12th best guy on the US team. He's great driver, does all these things well. I don't know that he's going to be able to make that kind of leap. And then Morikawa, I don't know. He's the one that I know what to do with the least. How many times did Hovland win this year? Two?
Well, I think he won three counting a month.
Yeah, so he won Mayakoba. He won Hero. Are you giving him that one?
And then Desert Dubai.
And then he won in Dubai.
But that wouldn't count toward your... Does the Hero count for you?
Oh, man. No, we can't put that.
If it counts for Patrick, the Tiger has 90 wins or something like that.
I'm not counting the 24 Manfield.
Okay. 20. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So Victor only won one, but that was more than Victor won it this year. He won 1-0-0, right?
Yeah. I am probably on board with Patrick that this is a Colin year. It's just too good. What he's good at and what he's most volatile at are it's the perfect combination to win events. It just is. He has the floor. He has the ceiling. And sometimes it's going to be ugly. And sometimes he's going to miss three cut, like what he missed, three out of four cuts or whatever this late summer. And it's like, but otherwise I think he hoists like that combination hoist trophies.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's winning the US Open this year.
LACC, Morikawa.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
I think Tom Kim might win it.
Tom Kim might it would be quicker to name the events Tom Kim doesn't win at this point.
Yeah. I mean, he's getting to 83 in a couple years. He's going to be a lot of them.
Listen, the thing with Hovland is he's a better, his ball striking numbers overall, I think, are better than Morikawa, right? If you add up,
yeah, because he's such a better driver.
He's a better driver. He's just so much longer, and he's fairly accurate. His putting's better than Morikawa, but he's not as volatile of a putter, which, to your point, Rick, does lead to more wins. And the short game is so bad, like it's somehow getting worse.
There's gonna be some courses in which I think it's going to be a much more narrow path for him.
Like even somewhere, I don't know. We don't need to get into.
He's won all his wins on the PGA Tour and maybe the Hero as well. The final round has been ball in hand, which is kind of wild.
Interesting. That's
interesting.
Yeah, I didn't realize the crooked PGA Tour rules.
Yeah,
gifting.
We need Rick out there,
Gifting.
Yeah.
Rick for head rules official.
I'll keep everybody in line.
Start the campaign.
You know how we always say, like, if so and so is just a zero putter, Rick. It, for Hovland, if he was just a zero around the greens, he would clean up.
Yeah.
But I'm with you. I don't know if you can go to a place like Augusta might be a good example, and in good conscience, like pick him to win the golf tournament, because you have to be so good and so precise around there that I just don't know if that, I don't know if he's capable of that, because I think so much of it is mental. Like I don't think he's not practicing it,
That is interesting. There's a couple of subplots for this year and like watching that stat line for Victor this year, I think is one of the ones I'm most interested in. Cause you're right. It's like elite, elite, elite. And then this is one spot that if he could get to a zero, it's start building a new trophy case.
Yeah. For real, like legitimately.
Hmm. Okay. This thing starts Wednesday night. So get yourselves prepared for that. Producer Troy does all the hard work behind the scenes. Thank you kindly. Patrick McDonald available on Twitter at amateur status. And Kyle Porter, of course, can be found at Kyle Porter CBS. You can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut. We'll catch you next time.
Hello everyone, it's Mike Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.